Madden Monday on Trib Live. Tim Benz and Mark Madden with you. Thanks for listening as we get set to wrap up the first Steelers game of 2022. And it was eventful. It was, on one hand, an exhilarating win, but on the other, it kind of feels like maybe the season is done at the same time if TJ Watt is in fact out for the year with a torn pec. As Mark and I were getting ready to tape our podcast here on Sunday evening, Adam Schefter, not too long ago, said the Steelers believe that Watt indeed did tear his pec, and he's scheduled to undergo scans Monday to confirm the diagnosis. That very well might mean a season ender for Watt, Mark, and if that's the case, do you see it as a season ender for the Steelers?
Yeah, they won the battle against Cincinnati, but it was a very odd battle, as we're going to talk about, and they lost to WAR. I mean, the only reason they hung in the game and eventually won it was because the defense was brilliant and made up for how bad the offense was and how bad the offensive line was in particular. And if T.J. Watt, who had a great game today, if T.J. Watt's out for the season, I don't see how anybody can, you know, say that next man up BS that the Steelers like to promulgate. If Watt's out, the season's over. And we haven't even talked about the possibility that Najee Harris is out because he left the game early as well.
T.J. Watt not only is dynamic himself, but he makes everybody else better. Alex Highsmith had a very good game today, but if he becomes their best pass rusher, that's still a step down, Mark, I would even say, from games where maybe Bud Dupree had to play and Watt didn't in years past.
Yeah, Highsmith played good, but I want to concentrate on the money guys because in the first half, Hayward, Minka, and Watt all had takeaways. Minka with the pick six. And that's what has to happen. They need to get big plays from the guys they pay the most money to. And I don't expect it to be that dramatic every week. And it won't be even close to that if Watt's out, because that puts undue pressure on Hayward and Minka to make up. And I just don't think they can. I think you'll see the performance of Highsmith decline if he has to, you know, be the guy. Although Malik Reed, I guess he's competent. He'd fill in. But losing Watt, it's just they're losing their best player. How many teams in this league could lose their best player and still hope to achieve what was projected for them prior, let alone the Steelers, who would have to overachieve what's projected to, you know, have a winning record to make the playoffs?
And let's underscore the point that you made at the outset, Mark, which was here's a defense that forced five turnovers, and even Mike Tomlin admitted this in his postgame remarks. They needed all five. Every single one of those to stop a Cincinnati drive was necessary because the offense wasn't paying them off for the most part when they got the ball back.
How often does a team be plus five in takeaways and they have seven sacks and they barely win the game and they could have easily lost it? They needed to convert more of those takeaways into touchdowns, but nonetheless, they're just getting what they paid for on defense, where they paid a lot, and on the offensive line, where they didn't pay enough. They have $9 million in cap space, Tim, that they didn't use. Maybe they should have gone out and fortified that offensive line better than they did. I know people who were stuck on Pickett and him playing and yada yada are blaming Trubisky, but Trubisky made the plays in overtime he had to. And you want to put Pickett behind that offensive line? You think he'd do any better? Or would that expose Pickett, rather more so expose the offensive line as being terrible in front of any quarterback? But to get back to your original point, yeah, they needed to convert more from those takeaways. Would have made for an easier game.
Mark, is there an equivalent in any other sport that you can think of? And I really can't, you know, unless it's an injury, a catcher maybe in baseball, but is there any other sport, because we were seeing it in the Kansas City game, they managed to have a guy who can function as a backup kicker to an extent, but between kicker and long snapper, to have a position that is so undervalued money-wise and roster cachet-wise, to have that impact the game as dramatically as it does when you see injuries in-game at that position? I can't think of one in any other sport.
That's a good question. You see, you made the comparison to baseball, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think in baseball, it's not a position so much as your best player, you know, who could be at any position. Your best hitter, rather. For example, if Shohei Ohtani got hurt, the Angels would stink. Then again, they stink anyway. Bad comparison. If Aaron Judge got hurt, the Yankees would stink. Then again, he bats only four or five times a game. So, no, maybe there is no comparison.
Now the Steelers fan base quickly was pointing this out on Twitter.
And maybe goaltender, Tim. Maybe goaltender in hockey.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, I guess when you look at goaltender, you're a bad goalie when you have a save percentage of 8.99. You're a Vezina Trophy candidate if your save percentage is high 9.2s. So, like, that variance shouldn't seem as big as it does. But, yeah, when you get an in-game injury in goalie, you could be really screwed, especially if it's two. But, you know, I was flashing back to the James Harrison game, Mark, when he was at what was then Heinz Field, snapping the ball onto the north side roads and, you know, costing them a game against the Giants. But I haven't seen anything like that impact a game since then to what we saw today with that long snapper getting those two bad snaps and what could have been game-winning kicks.
Tim, it was a weird game. We could, I mean, like, here's another thing that was weird. When the Bengals punted at the end before the Steelers...
Oh, the 15 seconds.
They should have let the clock tick down, right?
I don't know what they were doing.
I know what my theory is. They thought the Steelers' offense was so bad that they could force a turnover.
Force a turnover and get the ball back with enough time to what, though? Have another bad snap? I mean, like, I get it from the standpoint of if you're functioning normally.
Well, I mean, normally. Something. Yeah, but don't you think that's why they did it as opposed to... You know, just brain freezing. I think they looked at that Steeler offense and just had no respect.
Yeah, I didn't see Zach Taylor's comments, at least not yet anyway, to that point. I would imagine that the Cincinnati reporters would have asked him about that. Here's another weird thing, Mark. We saw that amazing Deontay Johnson catch along the sidelines in overtime for the Steelers. That set up the field goal miss by Boswell. But Ja'Marr Chase had won every bit as gorgeous, and it was not ruled a touchdown, rightfully so. I don't think he was in bounds. But if they get the benefit of that call, or he's managed to drag his foot, his second foot in, T.J. Watt never gets hurt, and who knows, they probably block the extra point anyway because it's just the same bad backup long snapper in there.
Tim, I disagree with Watt not getting hurt. Whenever there's a torn muscle injury like that, you know, the pec, that's generally, you know, waiting to happen.
Oh, I don't know about that, though. That was a funky play, because remember, he sort of went over the back of Burrow and then reached funny to try to get him. I thought that was a direct function of how that play turned
out. Yeah, maybe, but you see, I think he's just brittle at this point in his career, and as I correctly said now, when he signed his long-term deal, I would have franchised him. I would have said, look, the guy's brother, JJ, his body broke down gratuitously at the same age, so why wouldn't I suspect it might happen with DJ? And that's exactly what is happening. They should have franchised it. But Tim, then he would have been unhappy. And we don't want anyone in a Steeler uniform to ever have an unhappy moment.
Hey, back to the quarterback situation, people being unhappy about Pickett not being in there. I saw the pregame report from Jay Glazer about how the plan is to stick with Trubisky throughout the start of the season. Well, of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? Like, do you really start a quarterback and then tell the media, no, our plan is to have him yanked midway
through?
Well,
didn't it say that the plan was to stick with Trubisky all season?
Yes. Yes, it did. Yes.
Well, of course, that's what you're hoping for.
Right. I mean, like, that didn't seem to be news value to me, or people treating it as a surprise.
Well, that's because a lot of people in the media, both local and national, are just unhinged about, you know, Pickett needing to play and obsessing over it. It's lazy and it's easy. And it gets feedback, but it's ridiculous.
They punted a ton. They had a ton of three and outs. They were gifted the ball. Mark, they only had like 26 minutes of time of possession in a game that went through five quarters. What did you like the least about the offensive effort today from the Steelers?
Oh, the offensive line. And if that's easy, it's nonetheless true. Najee Harris was trapped in the backfield. You know, Trubisky had guys in his face all the time. I didn't like the imagination of the game plan. I thought it was rather similar to last year's.
Yeah, especially that first series. Like, right off the hop, they're third and two, and they still find a way to throw the ball short of the sticks. That should be impossible.
Well, like I said, very similar to last year. I mean, Najee's just in a world of hurt. He just is. I mean, he can't get anything with that offensive line. Nobody. The passing game, nobody can get anything done with that offensive line. They went double tight, you know, just as much you could tell from TV. They seem to go double tight quite a bit. I think that's a formation they need to go with given the shortcomings of that offensive line. But I think a better question would be to ask what I liked about the offense, because the answer would be, you know, just about nothing, except, Tim, credit where it's due, and no one wants to say this, Trubisky did get enough done in overtime to win the game. It was very Ben from last year-esque.
And he managed to avoid, for the most, and they had no turnovers. So despite all the struggles of the offense, he never ended up forcing anything so that it could get picked off. And, you know, to Tomlin's point in the post game, they needed the turnover margin to be exactly what it was, and they never gave him the ball back.
Well, right. I mean, that's how it has to be all year. Like it or not, and unfair or not, you know, that's how the Steelers have to win games all year. Although with Watt out now, I fear that's impossible. With Watt out now, I think they'll be lucky to get 5 or 6 wins.
The analysis of anything else moving forward based on what we had before is shot because of Watt's injury if he's out for the whole year, which I assume.
Maybe they'll finally be smart enough to tank and win 4 games and get a great draft pick.
You don't believe that, do you?
No. The most important game is always the next one, Tim, because that's Steeler football, and we got to preserve Coach Sunglasses as never having had a losing season record. But I think that's shot, and thank God, because I'm tired of hearing about it.
I'll give you one thing I did like from the offense, Mark. I thought the tight ends were used well, like you said. That should be something they move forward with more often. Freiermuth had at least 2 or 3 really big plays, and Zach Gentry, of all people, had the longest play of the day.
Yeah, I think that's what they have to do. But now it's all moot. Doesn't it seem silly discussing the minutiae of moving forward with Watt hurt?
It does. It feels like a very important divisional win in terms of the standings and in terms of emotion and everything else just happened in a vacuum because he's gone.
Don't you think the Yokels, though, will think next man up, still got a shot?
I bet you will hear before you're on the air tomorrow at 3 o'clock no less than 17 or 18 different hot takes from various people in the media and phone callers to shows. And you will hear nonstop comparisons if it's just the defensive version of Duck. And they went 8-8 with Duck. So get ready for that.
Yeah, this is different.
In a way, it's worse.
Well, no, it's not worse than when you lose Ben, but I don't know. Maybe it is worse. I mean, it had to be that the defense dominated to win games. And the funny part was, on the day that became impossible, it was proven to be correct.
And the last thing about that, Mark, on the defense and for the game overall, actually, Minka Fitzpatrick had the blocked field goal. He had the pick 6. But as you and I have talked about, one thing we were hoping to see with the defense changing, potentially, was him not having to be the tackle machine so much. He had 14 tackles again, and kudos to him, but he's going to find himself injured too if he keeps doing that for 17 games.
I will say this, though, Tim. I thought Devin Bush played a pretty good game.
He was better, yeah. I think the one huge run that Mixon had, you know, he was in pursuit. I don't know if he should have been over that. I know that Spillane was the one that got swallowed up on that block. That wasn't on Bush.
Yeah, Spillane got swallowed up on blocks. Spillane missed tackles. That's what he's supposed to be good at, I thought.
Yeah, I think he's just a special teamer. He suffered an eye injury, too. So it wasn't just those guys who got hurt. Leal left. I don't think he came back. I don't know if Cam came back after he had whatever injury he had. And Tomlin didn't even talk about that. But
well, I hope the eye injury for Spillane's not too bad because I wanted to watch the video and see how bad he was.
Mark, up next, the Patriots. Mac Jones got hurt. Like you said, I don't know what it's worth to do to look down the schedule, but it was an interesting day throughout the NFL. Baker Mayfield losing to the Browns, probably most interesting to me.
Tim, I said when they announced the Watson suspension that the Browns would go 6-5 without Watson, that they will be in definite playoff contention by the time Watson comes back and Jacoby Brissett is back in the backup role. And nothing that we saw today, obviously the result especially, should lead us to believe anything different. That is a big, physical, bludgeoning team, and Myles Garrett had a great day today. I mean, they're going to be a real good team, and they're going to have a shot to make the playoffs. Whether they do or not, I don't know, but I bet they're 6-5 when Watson comes back. You watch.
Mark Madden with us. It is a Madden Monday. Juju fumbled, by the way, Mark. I know you're surprised at that.
I thought he fumbled twice and dropped a pass, too, but they won.
Did he fumble twice? I knew he had one. I didn't see a second one.
I think so. I didn't. If you could imagine, I didn't, you know, watch the Juju game necessarily.
You're right. He fumbled twice. He lost one, and he may have had a drop two along the way. But hey, Travis Kelce catches everything, so that's all that matters. He had like 130 yards or something like that.
Yeah, Tim, as we speak, as we're taping, the Minnesota Vikings are beating Green Bay. And on my show and also on my gambling podcast, I bet $500 that Kirk Cousins would win MVP at plus 4,000.
What did Mr. Friday Afternoon think about that bet?
I don't know, but he went 4-0.
Did he really? He's still on a hot streak from last year. How about that?
Including the daily double, and I'm sorry we don't have the sound effect.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, so, I just looked at Kirk Cousins' stats from last year when they barely missed the playoffs, and I say, okay, if they win the division, you know, which Green Bay, I mean, they lost a lot of weaponry despite having Aaron Rodgers back, and who knows if this is the year that he hits the wall finally. By the way, who knows if Brady's going to show up all year? He might go and help the missus with the dishes. I have predicted that he's going to dream up an injury at some point so he can go home to the wifey. Because honestly, he's done enough, played long enough, 7 rings. He should pick his marriage. One of the few players for whom that should be an obvious choice, family over career at age 45 at this point in his life. But like I said, Kirk Cousins, if the Vikings win the division and he gets the same stats, he could be a contender for MVP, although it's always very dicey to bet on something that is voted on because these guys might just say, I'm not voting for Kirk Cousins.
Mark, did you take in any of the Pitt game against Tennessee?
Yeah, I watched the last probably quarter and a half and then overtime. That's not a great loss after they beat West Virginia in a very emotional game. And as I always point out, it's amazing that even though Pat Narduzzi's the defensive genius, they just can never play defense. Over 30 points allowed against Tennessee. But, I don't really want to jump on Pitt for losing that game too much because, you know, the starting quarterback got hurt, Slovis. I thought Patty came in and played pretty good. He played gutsy. He played hurt. So I don't know how long Slovis is out for. Is there any word on that yet?
No, I thought I saw at least one report that it was a concussion, so I don't know. Those things you can never quite figure out. Were you like me, Mark, and thought that they should have gone for two at the very end of the fourth quarter? Because I thought you're working with a backup quarterback. You've just punched them in the nose. They're dazed. The longer the game goes on, the longer your injured backup quarterback becomes more vulnerable to the opposing defense. I would have just gone for two there.
You know, Tim, it's funny you mentioned that. Because I never thought of that till right now. But you're probably right. And the reason I never thought about it till right now is because I knew they wouldn't.
Yeah. Because he was probably thinking on his part, Narduzzi's I'm talking about, just extend the game, keep the game going as long as you can. You're at home, et cetera, et cetera. But you're
And don't make a decision where I can get blamed, if that makes any sense. Like, he won't take the risk if there's potential blame at the end of the rainbow.
Finally, Mark, Albert Pujols, homers again for the St. Louis Cardinals against the Pirates. He's at 697. I believe 600 of them have been hit at PNC Park.
It seems like it. I saw online some of the Pirate pretend media were saying they were embarrassed that PNC Park applauded the home run and gave him, I guess they gave him a standing ovation, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? First off, there were a lot of Cardinals fans there. And second off, I mean, the guy just tied A-Rod for fourth on the all-time list, and the Pirates are going nowhere anyway. Why wouldn't you give him that respect? I think that says a lot more good about the fans than it does bad.
Frankly, Mark, I just think it's Pittsburgh's renowned appreciation of exit velocity and their willingness to reply and applaud anything involving exit velocity.
Well, now O'Neill Cruz is hot. He's on the hottest streak of his career, and people are acting like that outdoes how bad he was earlier. You know, and the key thing is how he does in the long run, obviously, because the Pirates always were going to stink this year. But, the better he does, the more he's thinking about getting out of here. They need him to be a safe kind of good like Key Brian Hayes.
You know, Mark, I look at the exit velocity argument, and I just come back to the fact he's 6'7", over 200 pounds. When he hits it, of course it's going to come off the bat fast. It's like Shaq dunking. You know, when he was a rookie, we put every Shaq dunk on SportsCenter. Well, how'd you think it was going to look? He's 7'1 and 300 pounds.
I agree. I mean, if the kid turns out to be a good ball player, more power to him. It's another thing to detract people from the fact that they suck.
Mark, what'd you do without the Premier League this weekend?
I was pissed. I mean, God bless the Queen, RIP, but I thought it would be better to play the games and have every game turn into a tribute to the Queen. But I bet they cancel next week, too, because I think the funeral's next weekend, right?
Well, the procession to Scotland was today. Was that part of the funeral? Was that the end of the funeral? I don't know how that works.
I don't know. I mean, all I know is Liverpool got to play Ajax in the Champions League on Tuesday, and that'll probably be just as sad an occasion as somebody dying the way we're playing.
Mark, we were starting The Godfather 2 when we sat down. How far along are they? Are they still in Reno right now? Or Tahoe, I mean.
I flipped the dial to watch Minnesota in Green Bay, which is as we speak, 23-7. I might add, though, I'm already two episodes deep into Cobra Kai.
Oh, and did you have your interview on Friday?
Pardon me, I'm in the third episode because that's when Mike Barnes returns in episode 3, who was on my show Friday, Sean Kanan of Newcastle.
How'd that go? I know you were nervous about it. How did it go?
Oh, he was great. He was hilarious. I played the promo he cuts on Danielson. Remember at the end of Karate Kid 3 when Daniel's on the mat after he gets the crap kicked out of him and the match is going to overtime, the championship of the All-Valley? And Sean Kanan just blisters him with like a 45-second promo that is profane. It's a little ethnic. It's just brutal. So I played that, you know, with the proper words bleep before Sean Kanan came on. And when it ended, he and I were both just laughing uncontrollably. He just started laughing, and I followed up with laughing. He goes, there he is. There's Mr. Congeniality.
Mark Madden. You can listen to him Monday through Friday on 105.9 The X. Check us out on Madden Benz Unfiltered on Monday. We'll talk plenty more about TJ Watt's injury and the Steelers game against the Bengals. This is Breakfast with Benz and Trib Live.